Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hey there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. It's wonderful to have you with us on this broadcast. It comes to you every week from the Ministry of Epiclesis. Now, Epiclesis is an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California, and if you're wondering what in the world ancient future faith is all about, we'd love you to visit our website. It's epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. You can find all kinds of information there about the church, when we meet, where we meet, and even learn what in the world epiclesis means. One of the things we love to do on this broadcast is to bring you a wide variety of guests to talk about ancient future faith and this renewal that's going on in the evangelical church, where folks are getting in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Today is no exception to that, and I welcome back to the Ancient Future Faith Studios Dr. Ellen Kohler. Hi, Ellen. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. It's nice to be back.
Always love to have you here in the studio. Ellen is our pastor of worship and liturgy at Epiclesis, and we love to talk about, well, there's all kinds of stuff we love to talk about, right? Worship and liturgy and spirituality and discipleship and all kinds of things. Ellen, you wear a lot of hats at the church, but today especially we want to talk about worship and something called Christ the King Sunday. What in the world is that all about?
Christ the King Sunday is the very last Sunday in the Christian year. And it's such a wonderful way to end this cycle of watching and waiting and stepping through time according to God's time and not civic time, the civic calendar or the yearly calendar, but we step through time according to the church year.
Yeah, we ought to talk about that just half a second because some evangelicals may be unfamiliar with this thing called the Christian year. It's not explicitly prescribed in Scripture, but it is scripturally based. And it says, among other things, that there is a way to mark time and order your steps that doesn't pay homage to the civic calendar or the school calendar or even our normal 12-month seasonal calendar, but rather it gives Christians a way to mark their time and order their steps according to, well, the life of Jesus and the big events in Jesus's life. Maybe it might be handy, Ellen, for you just to do a broad sketch of the whole Christian year so people get an idea of what we're talking about.
Well, the first season in the Christian year is actually coming up very soon, first Sunday in December. Listeners to this broadcast may remember that last week we talked about Advent, and Advent is, in fact, the first season of the Christian year. You say Happy New Year every year on the first.
Which comes around
the 3rd of December this year.
Yeah, roughly right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, usually right after Thanksgiving, although this year Christ the King is in Thanksgiving weekend. So Advent is, in fact, the first season in the liturgical year, in the Christian year, and it is the fourth Sunday period of time just before Christmas when we watch and wait and hope and remember that Christ came once, his first advent as the Word incarnate, and we celebrate that. And we also look forward to his coming again at the end of the ages when he comes back in his second coming. And then we also remember and celebrate when he came into our individual lives. So that's the season of Advent.
Yeah, we should say that the podcast that Ellen is talking about happened last week, but it's archived on the Epiclesis website. So if you want a little discussion about Advent, pop over to epiclesis.org and look for the podcasts. Ellen, I love Advent, by the way. It's one of my favorite times of year. I love the music of Advent, and there's something especially countercultural about it in that it has to do with waiting, like you were talking about.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we at Epiclesis, and I've noticed a lot of churches are doing this, they wait to sing Christmas carols proper, and we sing Advent hymns and songs instead. And then for the 2 week, usually it's two Sundays in the Christmas season, we pull out all the stops and do all of the Christmas songs. And so we're actually doing them on Christmas Day and after Christmas.
Right.
The Christmas season is followed by the period of Epiphany, which most people will know Epiphany as the 6th of January, when we remember and celebrate the coming of the Magi to worship Christ as a child and to present their gifts.
Yeah, and one of the things about Epiphany that we need to remember is that it helps remind us that Jesus came not only for the Jews, but also for the whole world. And that's one of the tie-ins there with the wise men coming from a far country to worship the baby Jesus.
I know it's a wonderful way to, as you just mentioned, to mark our time and look especially at how we can walk with Christ through his life. One of the things that I love about Epiphany is that it begins with the baptism of Christ and ends with the transfiguration of Christ. You speak of this in terms of it bookending the life of Christ. And then in this period, which is usually between 5 and 9 weeks, we look at the major events and miracles and things like that in Christ's ministry. Then after Epiphany comes Ash Wednesday, which leads us then into the period of Lent, which is the 40-day period when, again, we're waiting and we're watching and we're walking with Christ in his footsteps to the cross.
Which leads up to Easter, which is not just a one-day thing, right? But a whole season of celebration.
No, Easter is a 6-week season, and we celebrate the victory of Christ in his resurrection and his and all of the things that he won. And that we'll come back to talk about Christus Victor in a minute, I think.
I think so, too.
And then the season following Easter is the long season of, well, we call it proper time or ordinary time, not because it's less important than these other more focused seasons, but because we count the Sundays, the first Sunday after Pentecost, the second Sunday after Pentecost, in that way. And in the season of Pentecost, we look at the way that the church, each one of us individually and the church as a whole, as the body of Christ, walk and live out our baptisms in the power and direction of the Holy Spirit in all aspects of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes us through, it's a long season, usually from sometime in the middle of May to the beginning of June, all the way to the last Sunday of the Christian year, which is Christ the King Sunday.
And that's where we are this weekend, right? We've come through this long season after Pentecost. And I think the best rip-roaring way to celebrate the end of that and marking the beginning of a new Christian year is this thing called Christ the King Sunday. Now, before we go on, I should probably say that you're listening to a broadcast called Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the host of the program and the pastor of the church, Epiclesis. My guest today is one of our pastors at the church, Dr. Ellen Kohler. She heads up our worship and liturgy. And we should say, Ellen, that over the last few weeks, our church has been taking a look at the important Christian doctrine of the bodily ascension of Christ into heaven after the resurrection. And that's an important thing for a lot of different reasons, and we don't have time to get into it today. But one of the things we've been emphasizing along the way is that one of the offices of Christ that he continues to operate in, if I can use that term, even now, is Christ as King.
That's right. We've looked at this doctrine of the threefold office of Christ.
Which is?
It's the doctrine that when Christ filled his earthly ministry on earth, he was prophet, priest, and king, and he continues to fulfill that in his place at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah, that hasn't stopped. He continues to be prophet and priest and king.
Right, he continues to work there. As prophet, he continues to speak to us as the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. As priest, he continues to intercede for us, and he continues to convict and convert us and to mold us into his image through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as king, he rules and reigns, as Ephesians tells us, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So Christ is even now seated at the right hand of the Father on high, ruling and reigning and governing us. As I love these words of the Heidelberg Catechism too. It says, Jesus Christ has been ordained by God the Father and has been anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who guards us and keeps us in the salvation he has won for us. He ascended to heaven there to show that he is head of his church and that the Father rules all things through him.
Mm. Oh, that gives me goosebumps. Yeah. Folks, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, then your goosebump button is broken. It's just a wonderful thing to think about our Jesus being as human as he was just after the resurrection now, and being a flesh and bone down payment I've heard some theologians say earnest proof that he is where we are going to be someday. But he's not just sitting around up there, right? He's still at work and he's reigning and ruling. And he's doing that through the power of the Holy Spirit even now. Ah, love it. And Christ the King Sunday, Ellen, gives us a chance to talk about these important things that Jesus is still doing now, active in the world right now as King, right?
Garrett Scott Dawson is a theologian that we've been spending a lot of time with at Epiclesis in the past few weeks. He's got a wonderful book entitled Jesus Ascended, The Meaning of Christ's Continuing Incarnation. And he talks about Christ not being passive. You know, sometimes we think...
Yeah, or sedentary.
I mean, sometimes we think of Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's seated there because his work is completed. He has won the victory over the principalities and powers of darkness, and that is important, but we need to also remember that because he's seated there doesn't mean he's resting inactively. He is actively reigning and ruling. And the other part of that that just gives me goosebumps too is where Paul tells us that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places right now.
Somehow, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we too are seated there. Paul says so, and I believe it. I love that passage. I'm reminded, Ellen, of one that I quote often from John 14, where Jesus says, and he's speaking to his disciples at the time, but it's true for us, he says that, as I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am also in you. What a marvelous mystery. And because of that, we are seated with our King Jesus, even now in the heavenly places.
I mean, it is a mystery. Here we are on earth, living our lives, walking out our baptisms, dealing with the things that come our way. But we have a power, and we have a sovereign that others who don't know Christ don't have.
Let's talk just a minute about the ways that Christ being King over us should shape and focus and color our world, and should also shape and focus and color the way we live our lives as Christians. But I'll take just a second to remind folks that they're listening to a podcast. It is presented through the ministry of Epiclesis, which is an ancient future faith church in Sacramento. Again, I'd love you to zip over to the website and check out more about this thing called Ancient Future Faith. And you can do that at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. Better yet, Ellen, we'd love to have folks come visit us. Just come on a Sunday morning at 10:30. You can get the directions from the website. We're over in the area of town near American River College, and it's on Winding Way. Easy to find. Just zip over to the website and join us on a Sunday morning. Ellen, I'm thinking of two or three ways that understanding, realizing, and living in the truth that Jesus is our King should affect the way we live our lives and worship and so on. But off the top of your head, what are you thinking?
Well, I think one of the first things that many of us will think about is that if Christ is King and he does govern and guard us, then our lives should reflect that we don't belong to ourselves, but we belong to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're part of something, but we're part of someone, the triune God, he's larger than, we don't have words. This is one of these mysteries that it's ineffable. We don't have words that will accurately and adequately, I think, describe the triune God. And then just to know that he is sovereign and we are his, it makes a difference. It ought to make a difference in our priorities, I think. So that's one way that I think of Christ as King.
Yeah, and not only priorities, but just the way we walk around in the world. It all belongs to him. We belong to him as well. We are his followers. We are his subjects. And all of the praise and honor and tribute is his. And our sovereign has got this. And it changes the way we interact with his world around us.
Right, and not just other people, but the world that he created. Because we remember that he has redeemed not just humans, but all of creation. And that he intends to redeem all of it.
Here's one I was thinking of. Understanding and living in the truth that Christ is King also should change the way we worship. And I'm talking more specifically about the Sunday gathering of the church. But we come before our sovereign, not because we decided to, but because he has called us to come before him. And when you take a look at scripture and you see where God shows up, these are called divine theophanies, where God shows up and interacts with humankind, you discover that there's an order to it. God says, our sovereign says, come before me, and then I want to show you something about myself, and then I have some things I want you to do, and then I'm going to send you to go do that. Well, that changes the way you think about worship, doesn't it? We come not to satisfy ourselves, God is not principally concerned with our happiness, but rather our holiness. But most of all, we're summoned before him as his subjects. And golly, if we could just wrap our noggins around that one concept, I think it would change the way we worship.
One of the things that that does for me is it makes me very excited to come to worship because I know that God will reveal something and he will expect something from me. I mean, you have an alliterative phrase that you use called revelation and response, the pattern of worship that we see in scripture and the pattern of God's people coming to know him more intimately over time is that God reveals himself and then we respond to his revelation. He doesn't come because we call him. We come to him because he calls us.
Yeah, well said. So there's two things then. If we're really living in the truth that Christ is king, it changes the way we interact in the world, his world around us. And then it also has an effect, or should anyway, on the way we approach him in worship. But another thing that Christ the King Sunday does for us, when we take some time out of the Christian year to focus on this one glorious notion that Jesus Christ is King, is that it reminds us of something we talk about a lot at Epiclesis, and that is Christus Victor theology. Ellen, you alluded to it a few moments ago, and so sketch out a little bit for us. Folks might not know what Christus Victor means and what it's all about, but it is a way of thinking about Christ's atoning work on the cross, and it's one that stretches way back in the history of the Christian church.
It is the earliest of the understandings of the church of Christ's work on the cross and what it means that he redeemed us. Sometimes this is also referred to as the ransom theory of atonement, and that means that Christ came as a ransom for us, and he was victorious over the powers and principalities of darkness. He triumphed over evil in his death and resurrection and ascension, and he is the stronger strong man, as Dawson alludes to. And so because of that, it makes a difference in the way we look at our circumstances around us.
Yeah, those Christians will probably easily agree that the world is evil and there is darkness all around us. But the focus on Christ the King, who was also our victor, reminds us that he has defeated and dethroned, and I like to say defanged, the powers of darkness. And they are no longer a danger to us. They can, in the meantime, until Jesus comes again, create a lot of trouble. Yeah. But they have already been defeated.
They have. And you tell us this a lot at Epiclesis. You use the term that we live in the meantime, in the time of the already and the not yet. Sometimes we speak of this in terms of it being the time of the church's sojourn in and mission to a world that's on its way to judgment and recreation. We know that the enemy has been defeated and that Jesus has vanquished Satan and death, yet these defeated enemies are not quiet.
No, they're not quiet.
They're not quiet. We know that angels and principalities and authorities and powers have been subjected to Christ. But yet 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. So the Son is seated at the right hand of the Father, neither sedentary nor passive. We already talked about that. But he's actively engaged in strengthening his people and subduing the enemy. Robert Weber has this wonderful picture about the situation in which we live as God's people in the meantime. He says that the enemies are defeated, but there are like these guerrilla outposts or corners in various places, and we're engaged in mopping up and getting rid of them. And
yeah, little mop-up battles.
Well, yeah, God gives us things to do, and one of the reasons why he does that is because we're on display. Mm. We're on display as Christ's body to people around us who see how we walk in our lives and how we deal with things that could seem like challenges.
Yeah, and that's all part of our being subject to the sovereign, right? We're participating with him in these mop-up battles. He's already done the defeating, but we're participating with our sovereign, our Christus Victor, our victorious Christ, in the meantime as we prepare for his glorious coming again.
Right. One thing that's wonderful about that is it reminds us that it's not in our own power and strength. We're not the ones who do the defeating. We're the ones who put on the whole armor of God as we walk every day. You used an interesting term when you were speaking of a young woman who's recently passed away in our church service last Sunday, and you were talking about the way that she talked about her particular walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And she said, it's not a punishment. This is a trial, and it's an opportunity for me to show Christ in my life and in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, that's an extreme example. Most of us don't go through those kinds of situations in our lives. Everybody has something, but most of us don't have that extreme kind of one. But yet we do all know that it's Christ who is the victor in our lives, and he is our rock. So looking at Christ the King Sunday in that way reminds us of those truths.
Folks, you're listening to a broadcast called Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, the church that brings you this radio ministry each week. And I'm talking today to Dr. Ellen Kohler. She's one of the pastors at our church. She heads up worship and liturgy, and we're talking about this wonderful, what would you call it, way station or stop on the side of the road. But it's more important than just a rest area, isn't it, on our journey. It's this day that we set aside in the Christian year to focus on Christ as King. We've come to the end of a long season after Pentecost, and we're getting ready to start a new Christian year in Advent. And by the way, we have a wonderful Advent service for you on Sunday night, the 3rd of December. I have to just get that in, Ellen. I'd love people to come see us at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, December 3rd, as we begin Advent. But before we get to Advent comes Christ the King Sunday. Anything else on your mind about what observing Christ the King Sunday does for us as believers?
Yeah, one more thing just came to mind.
Okay.
And that is that one of the hallmarks of a good king is the giving of gifts,
mm-hmm.
You know, even lavish gifts to his people. And the greater the king, the more lavish the gifts were, because that showed his greatness.
Yes.
And our King Jesus has given us lavishly of the Holy Spirit.
Ah.
He has poured out the Holy Spirit upon us. I know, and he does it in this wonderfully beautiful way. You remember, he leans into his disciples and he breathes on them.
Mm.
And then at the Mount of Ascension, he says, go and wait in Jerusalem and just wait for the gift. And what a gift came, the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm. That picture of Christ breathing on the disciples and saying, receive the Holy Spirit, harkens back to another time in Scripture, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of when God breathed into Adam.
Yes.
The breath of life. How beautiful is that?
And then our King Jesus ascends into heaven. The disciples go back to Jerusalem with great joy. And not too many days later, they get this gift of the Holy Spirit, which, brothers and sisters, is ours as well. The Holy Spirit is alive and well, and it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we go out into our King Jesus's world, into his territory. We are his sovereign subjects. We worship him because he calls us to himself, and then we do it through the very gift that he gives us in the first place. What a wonderful, wonderful sovereign we serve. Ellen, I'm blessed when you come to visit us in the Ancient Future Faith studios. Thank you so much for coming our way today.
Oh, it's a privilege and a blessing for me to come and talk with you about these things we love so much.
As we turn the corner past Christ the King Sunday and celebrate Jesus as victor over the powers and principalities, we come to the season of Advent. And once again, folks, we'd love to show you and have you participate in person to see what Advent is all about. It starts on Sunday morning, December 3rd. That's the first Sunday of Advent. And then, of course, that special service of Advent lessons and carols on Sunday night, December 3rd. At 6 o'clock. Ellen Kohler, thanks again for coming our way today. I'm grateful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Folks, until we gather again for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I want to remind you of something. I want you to think about it, too. Surely, the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Pastor Chris here with one more word before you go. One of the most special parts of the whole Christian year is when the new year comes along at Advent, the time where we celebrate not only Christ's first coming as a baby, but when we also anticipate his second future coming as a conquering king. I'm hoping you'll join us for worship in Advent on Sunday mornings starting after Thanksgiving, but also please join us for a special and unique service of Advent scripture readings and carols on Sunday, December 3rd at 6 p.m. Find all the information on the web at epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.